know. They didn't know it was Jesus. He says, hey, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And what they did, what happened then? So they caught so many fish. And it didn't say about this time about the nets breaking. It said about sunk the boat. They had to get another boat out there to help them. And then Peter realized, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. He didn't even wait to get to the shore. He jumped in the water and swam. And Jesus had a fire. Amen. It says they caught 153 large fish. But there was Jesus still taking him through the same scenario and still providing for them, still showing his grace. And still this time, saying, instead of saying, hey, come follow me, you'll catch, be a catcher of men, he says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Tend to my sheep. Peter, do you love me? The third time, Peter said he was hurt. He said, Lord, you know all things that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Isn't it wonderful that even as we go through life as the struggles, that God brought him to the same scenario, provided for him again, didn't discount him, didn't disqualify him, but actually brought him to the same scenario and provided for him again, completely over-provided, over-abundance. Isn't that awesome what God will do for his people? I'm telling you, regardless of where any of us is right now, or struggles or whatever, God has always got that boat. He's always got that net of fish or purpose for you and I. Amen? Even in the middle of all the messes that we have in life. Amen? The people, relationships. God, this amazes me, the exact same scenario. No fish all night. We're going to do this again. What else are we going to do? We don't know what to do. And I'm so wonderful that even when we come discouraged at times, that God is there to get us on track with our own scenario of the boat, whatever that is for us. Our own scenario of trying to do things on our own, fishing all night. Another scenario of God providing for us abundantly. And that is with His Spirit in us, inside of us, with His purpose, with His provision, with His goodness, and with His strength. Amen? Is that your phone, John? That sounds like a hearing aid from here. I remember that years ago we were at a service here and somebody's hearing aid was just going, had to sneak around my ear. Because he couldn't hear it. But all of us could. Amen. Lord, thank you for your provision. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's a kindness to the Lord. Thank you for your and encouraging your people. Encouraging your people. Same scenario. That boat. Our own efforts, our own struggles. Seems like we've done some things, maybe for not. But Jesus there to say, hey, put your net out again. And then being supernaturally overloaded with it. Isn't that amazing to be meeting Jesus? This scenario happening with Simon. And then right before Jesus is taken away into heaven, the same exact scenario happening again. Isn't that interesting? The beginning, end of his ministry, showing Peter his love for him. Amen. It just excites me. Amen. We're on session 23. We took a little rabbit trail, but I think it was a fairly good rabbit trail. Amen. The book of Romans, session 23. We have been still in chapter 12, actually the beginning of chapter 12. And we talked about the aroma of from Ephesians 5:2. Remember when he was offered up? I'm going to expand on that and preach this Sunday. I feel like God wants me to preach that to the church. I feel like that message of the aroma, that smell of the aroma that God took into his nostrils in the propitiation for sins is powerful. It's powerful. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, I'll read this part again. It says, do not be conformed to this world. This is in the New American Standard Version, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove. It says, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable. is with us. People around us will see that. As we prove the will of God in our lives, people around us will see it. It may take more than a week. It'll take more than a month. It'll take more than a year. It'll take time. It's a lifetime of walking with Him. But we will prove to the world individually, those around us, that God is indeed with us. Amen? As He continues to change our lives. And He continues to work through us with the anointing, with the purpose, the gifts, and callings that He has put upon each individual. The grace, the calling, the gifts, the provision, the strength, the joy, the peace, the freedom that He's given you. The world will see that, hey, you're proving to me. I can see that God is working in your life. Does it mean that it's a perfect walk? That there's not some bumps along the road? Well, hopefully there's not too many Ishmaels for you. I won't go into that. But you know, I'm just saying the struggles, mistakes. It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect, but in consistency as we grow with Him, as we walk with Him and don't give up, I'm telling you, we become more consistent. We grow with Him more consistent, and the world will see it. The things that come out of our mouth will be backed up with the strength and power, the vision, the blessing on our life. Prove that will. And then in verse 3 says, for through the grace given to me, Paul's saying, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So here's saying, three times he talks about faith. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone, you're not to think more highly than yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You know, I think as we go through this, is the way that we do that, God's graced our lives. He's given us certain abilities, right? Certain things, and as we keep level-headed and we work in those areas that He's graced us in, that's where that judging ourselves, keeping that even keel. What can happen is when we become, an individual becomes prideful or high-minded, they think they can do with everything. You ever met anybody that can do everything? Or they present themselves as being able to do everything? Or they know everything? Or they just appear to know everything? That's when an individual or a person thinks more highly than themselves than they ought. Everybody in here has abilities and giftings and things that God has graced your life with. That's you, that you can do better than somebody else in this room. There's things that God has placed in your life and gracing that is the purpose for your calling that is for you. It's when we try to hop out of those things that God has placed within our lives, become high-minded, thinking, I can do it all. I don't need the help of other people. I don't need the body of Christ. So many times, and I love people like this, but you'll meet people like this that will shun or do not appreciate or have an ill heart, something against the church. And if you really look at it, it's being high-minded. I don't need the body of Christ. I don't need the abilities and the other talents and the things that God has placed in your life. I don't need those things. But the only problem is, the only way the gift and calling of God that you and I have in our lives, we said last week, is when we're together. But you know, that's when the giftings and the abilities come forth in our lives. As you and I work together, labor together, serve together, that's how those things come to the top. We're proving ourselves to one another. Amen? Amen. Highly or haughty. So walk in that area God has placed, graced you in. That's where that measure of faith starts to explode. See, God has given you grace, faith, favor in your life and in your purpose in your church. Amen? I think about, when we talk about faith, and it says here about, there's a lot of, to each a measure of faith. As I was studying this out, each has given us a measure of faith. And think about, well, how do I, how does that grow? How do I operate in it? When we're not careful, we start thinking there must be some secret. something I'm missing, maybe, or something that I don't know about that'll activate or allow that measure of faith to be activated. But you know what I'm going to tell you? It's not like that at all. You're not missing anything to activate or grow your faith. You know, it's that size, it's the size of a mustard seed. I'll read that scripture, Bill. You have that picture? I like that picture. That little mustard seed. Look at that little thing. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible for you. Isn't it amazing that the power that our God has just needs a little measure, a little bit, just a little bit? If we say I don't have enough faith, then is that really the answer? Is it maybe we don't believe, right? So how do we activate our faith? This measure of faith, we already talked about how we have to think more highly than ourselves. To operate within the area that God has placed within you, the purpose, the giftings, the calling. Does that make sense? Does any of that make sense out there? Right? Don't ask me to do too much accounting work. It won't go well. I can do it for a couple hours, but then I start coming out of my skin. I'm not gifted there. I'm good enough to be dangerous. I'm not looking at my checkbook for 5 minutes. Too much of that, I'm not gifted in that area. But if I try to convince myself I am, I'm in trouble. And this church is in trouble. Amen? So things that, but if we get haughty-minded, I just want to go back to that, and think, you know, we're to have a self-esteem in Christ. Amen? I'm not saying we beat ourselves down. But haughtiness, we get blind to areas, and we think that we're good at areas that we're not. We think we're capable of doing things and working in areas that we're not. But if we work within that realm of grace and gifting that God's placed within us, everything's going to go smoothly. Meaning that you will naturally grow into that position. You'll naturally grow in that place. You'll naturally do what God has called you to do. It'll take time to come to fruition. You mature into it, but it will come naturally as you follow Him. Amen. Matthew 17, 19 through 20. So how do we activate our faith? It was interesting. Now, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, like I said, with James and John and Peter. And they were, God said, this is interesting, but God said with a loud voice from the cloud, He says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." It said, "Listen to Him." It said, "Listen to Him." And they've already seen miracles. They've already seen Jesus do mighty things, but the power of God, as they were on that Mount of Transfiguration, and what they saw of Moses, imagine Elijah, it's Elijah, right? And Jesus. And on top of that, they didn't know what to do. Peter said, "Do we make a tabernacle? What do we do here for each one of you? What do we do?" They were so frightened. And they hear this voice come from heaven say, "Listen to this is my Son. Listen." So one of the first things what happened when they come down from the Mountain of Transfiguration is there was a boy that was epileptic. He had seizures. And he said that it was a devil, and it would seize him and throw him into fires, bring great harm to this boy. And so the disciples that remained down there with this group of people were trying to relieve this boy of this demon power, and they could not. And so Matthew 17, 19, and 20 says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" They're asking Jesus. And he said to them, "Because of your meager faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed," we saw that mustard seed, "you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So he said, "Hey, you just need a little bit of faith," and he actually sounds like he's a little bit upset. Because if you read before there, he, even a few scriptures up, he said, "How long must I put up with you?" But they couldn't. But if you go to Luke 10:17, you have that one there, thank you. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." scriptures up, Jesus is sending out the 72. He says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is served to you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the King of God has come near to you. But the difference was that Jesus spoke to them and told them what to do. He said, I'm sending you out, cast out devils, heal the sick. See, they heard that and believed that. See, they hadn't heard that before when Jesus came down from the Mount Transfiguration. They didn't know yet. They hadn't heard. Jesus hadn't told them, said, hey, I'm sending you out to cast out devils and to heal the sick. They hadn't heard that in their ears yet, because faith is activated by the Word of God. It is only activated by the Word of God, by the way. So Jesus sent them out, speaking the Word to them, and he activated their faith and told them what to do. Well, the other end, he hadn't activated. They didn't know what to do yet. If you put together the difference of, on one end, they cast out devils. On the other one, they could not. They hadn't heard the spoken word to charge them. But hey, go do this. Hey, go do this. You know, faith is activated. What God, that little buster, is when God from our heart, we're reading the word, he speaks to us. He says, go do this. We're waiting, you know, we're waiting for something big to happen, but truthfully, faith, and this faith that we want to walk in, is activated solely by his word. You say, are you sure about that, Chad? Well, let me see. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the spiritual gift. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. So what I have in 1 Timothy 4:14 in the New American Standard says this: do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was granted to you through words of prophecy and the laying on of hands by the council of elders. So the spiritual gift and what Paul is saying operate in his faith. It was spoken to him. He heard words of affirmation. He heard words of encouragement. He heard from those that he was serving under, saying, hey, this is what God has placed within you. Hear this and activate your faith. Amen? Those words were powerful. We'll talk about it a little bit more, how powerful prophecy is. Word, it just seems like spoken word, right? But I'm telling you, it activates people's faith. Our faith to activate it and to walk in it is by the spoken word. You guys, of course, know the scripture, Romans 10:17. So faith cometh from hearing. Did you hear that? You know the scripture. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Hearing his word. The word of God. Activating the faith. Sometimes we have that faith already. Make sure we're not waiting around it. We need to check this faith. The walking faith or the walking things that we're waiting for. Have a vision. But just the word of God. Activate that little mustard seed to go forth to do more. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for activating our faith. Lord, I pray tonight that even by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you're activating faith in different areas. Amen. For each part, is your heart open to activation? I'm not saying we're not already activated, but more. Open up this. Lord, let us walk in faith more. Lord, let us have more confidence in faith. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we understand faith. Lord, give us an understanding of faith and have eyes of faith. Father, we thank you that the Word of God activating your people in Jesus' name. Lord, as people are waiting for something to appear to them to activate, Lord, we thank you that it's the Word of God that activates faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that, Father, in Jesus. Lord, we thank thank you for your presence here tonight. Speaking to hearts. Encouraging hearts. Father, soften our hearts. We thank you for a new day in the body of Christ, Father God, with people coming into what you have for them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the people that you're calling from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, Father God. Those you would never imagine coming, we thank you for that, God. Being activated by faith and by hearing the word of God. Sometimes the church, we want more. It's like, well, faith in the word of God is not enough, but it's the first thing to activate people unto great exploits is to hear his word. If you just have the faith of a mustard seed, couldn't cast out that devil. The other one, he speaks to him, don't do this. Activating that. Coming back rejoice and say, man, you're out there kicking cans. Can I say that? You're kicking the devil's butt. That's okay, right? Kicking the devil's hiney? I think that's what we're called to do. Thank you, Father. Verse 4. We're on verse 4 finally, Brad. I'm just going to read verse 3 real quick so I can go into 4, Bill. I'm sorry. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Hallelujah. For just as, verse 4, for just as we have many parts in one body, and all the body parts do not have the same function. So he starts going, kind of what I was talking about, amen? A function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually parts of one body. So another place, in another area, Peter says we're living stones, right? Forming a house of God. You can see that in your mind. A stone, right? A stone on top of one another. Forming a house of God. Forming the body of Christ. Each one of us is one of those stones. Isn't that amazing? Can you build a house with one stone? Can you build a house with five stones? I don't know what it takes to build a house, but I know God says that all the living stones jointly together make a body. That's what he says, talking about our body. Each individual part of the body makes a body. You got to have a head. It's Jesus, right? If you don't have a head, you're not alive, right? If we're not connected to the head, Jesus Christ, we don't have a body. There's no life there. There's only death. But if you've got a head, and then you've got all the ligaments, the arms, the shoulders, the neck, right, the toes, then you have a body. Amen? You have something with which you can do something. And then you have one arm missing from the body. You become a one-armed paper hanger. And that's tough. I'm sorry, but my point being that you notice something's missing, right? If there's a foot missing, you notice something's not right. If you have a leg, fingers, whatever, something's missing in the body. If we don't have every part doing thinking in its right set with the humility or working within God's place of that individual, the body just doesn't work right. Now, I wonder if a lot of the bodies really live that way. It's just the way it is. As I think as we come into a day and age as God is activating people, people being excited about what God's doing in their lives and fitting in, wherever that is, however that looks, doesn't mean you have to do it today. You could sit in a church, whatever, 6 months, a year, 2 years, all of a sudden God place something in your heart, boom. Everything changes. God gives you a direction. God's speaks to your heart. God puts a dream in your life. God puts a vision in your life. And all of a sudden, you're going a whole different direction. But it'll always be part of the body. Working within a body. If we don't have that, how do we have other people's confidence? How do we have confidence in our Sunday school teachers if we don't get to know them? Amen? How do you have confidence with whoever's up here talking if you haven't got it's just time. It's nothing that happens right there. It's just consistency and time. Verse 5 again. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually parts of one another. We're individuals, amen? Still have my own mind. I still don't like onions. We all have our individuals, we're not robots thinking the same, dressing the same and everything, but we're united together in one purpose with Christ, but yet individuals with different personalities. Amen? How many different personalities is there? Ever wonder? I'm sure maybe somebody's, but all those working together, right? All those working together. Verse 6, however, since we have gifts that differ, it keeps going up, huh? Keeps talking about this. However, since we, that you and me, have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And each of us is to use them properly. Amen. Growing them. Operating love with those. Yielding to one another in those things. Amen. Properly. Then it goes on and says, if prophecy in proportion to one's faith. Isn't that an interesting statement? Prophesy. Let me, you know, I'm looking at word in Greek. It means prediction and inspiration. Of course, we've heard of the office of a prophet. Acts 11, 27 and 28. So sometimes we'll have prophecy. I just want to talk a little bit about prophecy, can I? It talks about what in the Word of God it says for preparation. Prophetic word given for preparation. Now, at that time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem. This is Acts 11, 27. From Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And then if you read after that, it talks about what some of the church did to prepare for that. So you can hear a prophetic word that came from Agabus, who was speaking a word that came true during the reign of Claudius. We have a prophecy right there where he was a prophet and gave a word. Sometimes I wonder if a prophet, and I don't know really if modern-day prophets are able to absolutely. But I've heard a lot of people who prophesied, I'm not going to get on this bus, who prophesied second term for president, and it didn't happen. Well, after August, yeah. As time goes on, but this happens, what I'm saying is what prophet, what it says happening, coming to pass, taking. That's how we go. How about in Acts 21:11? A warning. Talking about a warning. It says in Acts 21:11. So when he came down to us, he took Paul's belt. This is Agabus again, by the way. Around his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit: So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind that man who owns this belt." And deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, that was Paul's belt. And so when Agabus did this, he said, hey, the Holy Spirit's saying this, I'm warning you. First Paul went on and said, hey, I don't care, I'll give my life for Christ. So we've had so far, we've got a prophetic word for preparation, we've got a prophetic word for warning, and then we have what in 1 Corinthians 14:3 that would be in the local body for encouragement. So it says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, exhortation and consolation, or encouragement, comfort. So when someone has a prophetic word, somebody that we know in the body, it's going to be something that brings comfort to the body. It's going to bring encouragement to the body. It's not going to bring confusion. It's not going to bring, well, what was that about? It's always going to be comfort. It's not going to come forth with anger. the Word of God says here in 1 Corinthians 14:13, that the one who prophesies speaks to people for what? Edification, exhortation, and consolation. Comfort. Amen. You can't despise prophecy in the church. You have a lot of church. I don't mean, Gina, you can't make things happen either. We were in a church, me and Gina, I was in a meeting with the pastor and said, hey, we've got to get the gifts going. So they had an open mic for prophecy. And so I don't remember how long that went on, but it didn't go on for very long, did it? Because somebody got up and just said something that was just wildly out of the spirit. And then they just shut it down. Instead of speaking to that guy or talking to him, they just shut it down. So they never, so what I saw there was we decided to despise prophecy. See, Paul wouldn't have said that if there wouldn't be a reason or people that despise me. So when you're in a service, I'm telling you, and a prophetic word comes forth from the Lord, it's powerfully encouraging for the people. It's powerfully something that really edifies the body. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not utterly reject prophecies, but examine everything, hold firmly to that which is good. And it says that in 1 Corinthians 2 that, hey, if you're going to prophesy, understand this, that other people are going to be there to say, hey, we agree with it. That's good. When Paul's talking about 1 Corinthians, it says, if someone prophesies, let the others judge what's said. So just know as you have, if the Lord gives you a prophetic word, that you are also yielding that other people can determine that that was from the Lord. You know, if we're going to speak those type of things, we are going to be willing to learn. We've got to be willing to yield to one another. We've got to be able to be teachable, amen? But that being said, prophecy is powerful for this day and age and for the body of Christ. Amen. Going back to what it said before, so prophecy in proportion to one's faith. To the faith. If the Lord, if you're in this situation here, Wednesday nights is perfect, I invite you, if the Lord gives you word that you want to share with the body, please do. This is a perfect time to grow in it. To exercise a gift and grow in a safe environment. Amen? Amen. Keep going to verse 7. It says, if service, talk about the different gifts, if service and the act of serving one another. Or the one who teaches in the act of teaching. Or the one who exhorts in the work of exhortation. The one who gives with generosity. Amen? The one who is in leadership with diligence. And the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So what it's saying here is, as the Lord shows you, or as you exercise your gifts, take them seriously. They're powerful. They accomplish great things for His body, for eternal purposes, well beyond just the here and now. Sometimes I know that we have a job, and we have a job in the world, and we got to take that seriously, don't we? Yeah. If you don't take it seriously, you can get fired. People don't respect you. Did you know just like that, the things that place, God places you? Amen. You said, are you sure about that, Chad? Yes, how do we discover our gifts? Number one is just being around them. Being together, amen. As we're together, as we're serving one another, God will give those things. Those things will come up to the top, by the way. It will be while we're around one another. 1 Peter 4:10-11, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says, as each one has received a special gift. Now, who's he talking to? He talking to you and I? As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted. Greek says whatever, it says hurtful. Meaning hurtful, ill, disease. Isn't that interesting? This is what this word evil means in the Greek. Hurtful, ill, disease, derelict. Vicious, bad, grievous, lewd, malicious, and wicked. Amen? So God, as God is changing our heart, we find ourselves pulling evil and clinging to what is good. You know that scripture, whatever is good, whatever is loving, whatever is fair, whatever is kind, I don't remember, I don't know how the scripture says, think on these things. You know, as you're going in the Lord, you know those things that try to pull at you, or that you're weak in, you start realizing those things bring misery in your life. Don't you realize with the Spirit of God in you? Amen, as you're going, you realize those things that pull on you, the evil things, the sins of the flesh, as you grow in him, you realize, hey, if I go down that road with my flesh and my mind, it just takes my peace. It takes my peace. So as we grow in him, we resist the devil and he flees. We say, hey, I'm not going that direction. I'm detesting him. Amen. And then good, it means to benefit. It's a benefit. Well. Isn't that funny? Evil means ill and sickly. Good means benefit. Well, fair, honest, worthy. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give a preference to one another in honor. You know, it's powerful honoring. Think about that honoring. Me and Gina have heard a message on honor. Down the valley, I wish think of how powerful it is, how the blessing of God flows in a church with a body that honors, esteems each other better than themselves. That's how we're able to forgive one another, that's how we're able to make it fluid and grow, amen. Verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Who gives us the strength to do those things? Jesus, amen, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, amen. Can we stand up? That's all we're going to do today. Or tonight, I'm sorry, this evening. Still right outside, right? Amen. If you're willing, can you raise your hand? Say, Lord, thank you for what you placed in me. Thank you for what you placed in me. And understand the things that God has placed in us doesn't have to manifest in a minute or a certain time frame. But regardless, as we're consistent with him, it is going to manifest. We are made for a purpose for his glory. It says we've been given a gift to share with one another, to bless one another. So we thank you in your body, Father. We thank you in your body, in this church, and other churches. We thank you for the giftings of God to manifest in love in Jesus' name. Father, we receive of God in Jesus' name. Father, we receive an activation. Father God, it says it's activated by faith, Lord, to walk in those you things that you've placed within us. Father, gifts of prophecy. Those that have been blessed to be givers in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Father God, those with gifts of leadership and administration, whatever it is, Father God, we thank you, Father God, for activating those things. Those who serve in the body, Father, helping the needs of others, Father God. Those that are weak, helping those in their weakness. We thank you for that, Lord, as we are open to being activated simply by Father saying, I'm available, God. We thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for the things that Satan tries to, his ploys is always to get our minds on those problems, Father God. We thank you for teaching us, Father God. You've given us not a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Another way you could say sound mind is discipline. Father, thank you for giving us disciplined minds, that the enemy, the ploys of the enemy will not get us off track. Father, show us that. And so we thank you for that tonight, Lord. How we love you, how we praise you, we worship you. With this radical group on a Wednesday night, this radical group that's on a Wednesday night, we thank you for that in Jesus' name, Father God. How we honor you and thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for a blessing upon us for the rest of this week. blessing upon your people the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.